Welcome. Appreciate you spending time with us and go over PQX. Just for everybody, brief history, if you could, on your association with ID Alliance.
I began working with ID Alliance back in 1984 when it was called the Graphic Communication Association. At that time, the president of the company I worked for in Chicago was on the board of directors for GCA, and we became very involved in the development of an ISO standard called SGML, and I was one of the first trainers for SGML, first in the U.S. and then in the U.S. and Europe, sponsored by, at that time, GCA. I've had a long association working with them as a consultant to develop various technology specifications. I joined the staff as a vice president in 2003, and I worked full-time for ID Alliance until approximately 2016. And now I have a contractual relationship off and on through the development of new standards, including PQX and its sister standard, PRX.
Very good. So quite a history you have already up to this point. And just if you could, give us a little overview, if you wouldn't mind, for us not altogether familiar with PQX. In fact, I'm bringing myself up to speed on it as well. But if you can give us like an overall, like a broad stroke and a basic understanding of what it is.
PQX stands for Print Quality Exchange, and it began as part of the Print Properties and Colorimetrics Working Group in 2016. So its origins are with ID Alliance and that key ID Alliance printing working group. At the time it was developed, the need was expressed primarily it was across the print supply chain. Every printer, if they have a customer that they're printing for on a routine basis, is asked to do print quality reports and print quality sampling and testing every so often. This is the way that the print buyers and primarily large brands track the printer, the location, and the quality that they're delivering. And they use this decision and they use this tracking of print quality by the printer per location when they make their buying decisions. The reason what's happening and is still happening and what's happening then is that every printer was using their own format to report print quality. Probably in 2015, maybe a little earlier than that, there'd been a shift from densitometers to spectrophotometers and the development of CXF, which is another ISO standard, and it's the way that we exchange colorimetric data. And but the other kinds of quality that are reported on were just done in a very ad hoc fashion. What that meant was when the brands asked their printers to report quality, they were getting reports in many different formats, and they couldn't load them into quality tracking databases. It's a quite expensive task. Some of them, or their third parties that they employed, had staffs of people keyboarding in the values that were in print quality reports in all these different formats so that the data could be keyed into quality tracking databases. There was some analysis around 2014-15 done of the expense that everyone was going to try to pull the data out of all these various sources for long-term tracking. And also, there were two other factors. One was the timeliness. If a printer filed a print quality report, and typically these were done like in PDF form or, they were a hard copy of some sort, maybe faxed even, from the time the report was received by the brand till the time it could be keyed in to their quality tracking databases, it took quite a bit of time. It was expensive. And then the final thing was it was error prone. So the bright idea was if we had a standard format to report print quality, just like we have a standard format to interchange colorimetric data, then that would basically streamline the print quality supply chain, lower the price of print. And that's important for all printers because, if the brands have to calculate all the extra work they're doing to track quality into the price of print, it becomes more expensive and they can purchase less print. So it was an economic factor. And so in 2015, the Print Property Working Group began looking at a standardized format for doing this quality reporting, and that's the origins of PQX.
Excellent. Thank you, Diane. So what you would say is that basically manufacturing is what kind of drove this. They wanted a common language to drive all this data that they wanted to report to, drove this as far as into an ISO standard?
Actually, I think the real driving factor was coming from the print buyers who were incurring this expense to rekey all this disparate data into a standard format that they could use. And you know, it's always a partnership. If you look at the supply chain, there's the buyers and then there's the printers. And then there are some third-party companies that provide services around that. And so I think it's really both. And there was quite a push from the brand side to have some sort of standard way of exchanging quality data.
Okay, no, I mean, it makes perfect sense. How is PQX going to be integrated into daily production?
You know, I think that the jury's out on exactly how that's going to happen. This is a new ISO standard. It's just now in June been published 1 year. And as far as I know, there's very little implementation of the standard. The reporting of print quality today is not highly integrated into the any automated processes. Certainly, we can gather colorimetric data, which is very important, in a standard format and exchange that without PQX. But there are a lot of other kinds of quality data that need to be exchanged. For example, if you're printing for a brand and you're printing packaging that has barcodes on it, the quality of and readability of that barcode is critical. The printed item can look great, but if you can't scan the UPC code, it's kind of worth, you know, then it's worthless. The other factors that brands wanted reported have to do with defects and defect tracking, and also with registration. So PQX addressed really four categories of defects, and those are color, mm-hmm. barcodes, registration, and defects. And so how this is going to be integrated, I think, remains to be seen, because the reporting on this is actually, and probably will remain for a while, a human activity, gathering observations and measurements from different tools and consolidating them as some sort of report that you send back to the printer. One of the challenges of developing this PQX training course was that there really is no software existing that does PQX. So as part of this, I have worked with a software company that is strong as a Microsoft Gold partner in the XML space, because the exchange of this data is in XML, just like CXF for color is. And so We've developed, as part of the training materials, some prototype or trial or training software so that people taking the course can actually begin to create their own XML PQX reports using software, because to do it manually is possible. Clearly, that's how I was the editor of the standard when it was published by ID Alliance and then later the ISO standard. And all of the samples and so forth that I developed for the standard were handcrafted, if you will, using like Notepad or something. But for real world application, that's not... You have to know a lot about XML, and there's a lot of chance for error if you aren't really using XML tools. So, and one of the exciting things about this course is not only learning about the details of PQX, but actually having the experience of creating your own print quality report that you can export ISO standard XML, and you can send a PDF similar to how you do it today.
Excellent. So, but at the end of the day, what's kind of nice is that now with PQX, everybody's going to have a common language.
Right. And you know, the people that worked on the development of PQX came from all sorts of printing types. There was packaging, but there were people that were involved in other types of printing as well. And people that participated had process control or quality control tools already, as did the brands, had their own quality databases. This standard is not, it's not specific to any one company or brand, but because it's an XML, it can be easily manipulated and transformed into the fields that they use. So I don't know that that software is going to be developed specifically with PQX as the model, but rather I think what will happen is that when PQX is sent to them, they're going to take those data fields and reorder them and maybe even rename them and automatically load them into their print quality tracking databases on the receiving side.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Next thing I'd like to ask you is, and you've done a little bit of it already, but if you can get a little more in depth, if you can touch on the development by ID Alliance and yourself to drive and shape how you shape the PQX before its approval by ISO?
I think PQX was developed just like any of the ID Alliance specifications were developed. I was kind of the partner with Don Hutchison through the development of G7 back in like 2004 to 2008. And so I don't know that ID Alliance shapes the standard. I think what they do is actually facilitate the brainstorming and creative process by bringing together the partners across the supply chain to develop something that meets the need of the supply chain. And PQX, as I said, it started as part of an activity of the Print Properties Committee, but when it became apparent that the use of this is going to go beyond just ID Alliance membership, and that we needed some international participation, because quality, the way it's judged and reported, really, like defects are a good example. There's no standard nomenclature for defects. They vary by the type of printing. They vary by the global region that you're in. And so we moved this purposely from an ID Alliance specification to become an ISO standard so that we could our members could collaborate with the international community, and printing's global. So the reporting of quality from remote locations across the world is really the end goal.
No, that's awesome. No, that's, it makes sense because you could have a local specification And then next you know, you had to break it up to ISO. Now it's an international specification. Mm-hmm. Any feedback on how it's been received by brands, you know, print buyers, third-party vendors, like you were talking about earlier, the print buyers? Have you got any feedback from them whatsoever yet?
Well, there's a group that is a brands council, and they were really, I think, instrumental in pushing for this. It's kind of like when G7 was developed. G7 was developed because that's what the print buyers wanted. It gave them higher quality and more reliability. And on the printer side, it also reduced costs because the make readies were cut to a minimum because of this calibration method. So I expect the same thing to happen with PQX, but I think, you know, the training is a huge, huge step in having everybody understand what it is and how you could create this standardized print quality report, how you can map your own fields into the ISO fields, and how you might implement it in your own workflows.
Okay. Just received word, training is going to start up on July 30th. So that'll be the end of this month. We're July 1st right now. Anything you can shed any light on as far as the startup of training, any insight to that?
I've been developing the training with Amy Slay from ID Alliance. And we're trying to have a good mix of lecture material with demonstrations of how this works, and also providing all the people who are enrolled in the training course with software that they can try on their own, within their own workflows, using their own quality reporting tools, and so forth. So, you know, we're hoping that this will really help jumpstart the use of PQX across the industry. And it may take, for example, some projects where some printers and their brand get together and actually create these kind of reports and interchange them and so forth. It takes a while to develop software and new procedures, but I think the end goal, we will find that the end goal does provide efficiencies, and that's what it's all about.
Oh, I totally agree, Diane. Just to interject real quick, I remember when Don came out, and you might have even been there,
Frank. I was.
2006, where I used to work at, and how it started up, it makes perfect sense what you're saying now, because when it started up, remember, we were doing G7 curves, older rips with graph paper, and it was working.
Yes. Yes.
Great, but look where we're at now with the different software we have to create G7 curves. We're making plate curves. You know, I mean, it happens like right now. Instead of hours, now it's minutes. So mm-hmm. I see exactly where you're going with that as far as, you know, at the startup, it's going to be a little more like G7 started up, but look at the results provided us,
right,
you know, as far as advancing the industry. So no, my last question is going to be any next steps on the drawing board? Is there anything that you already see maybe, you know, with the base line you have right now on it, but things that you may be looking towards in the future as far as, you know, with PQX?
I think, you know, just like with G7, The first steps are the training courses, which, you know, I worked with Don and we did a lot of training courses and trial test press runs and so forth. And I think that's kind of the phase that we're in until we can see what this is. And I will say that there is a sister standard to PQX. Both of these have the number ISO 12606. And actually, PQX is part two. This is the standard print quality report exchange in XML. The other part of that, which I think in the end, printers are going to find will save them a lot of time and money, is a standardized print quality specification from the brands. Right now, if a print buyer employs a printer to print to something, and they say, here's what we want you to do. We want you to meet these reference colorimetric values, and we want you to have, the barcode readability has to be a certain percentage and so forth. Those are either they're communicated by style sheets that are in all different kind of formats, and the printers have to like noodle through those and figure out how to set up their press and all of that to meet the buyer's expectations. The second part of ISO 20616 is PRX, which is a standardized XML exchange of, here's my requirements printer, here's what I want you to do. So that's the second part of this. While you can use them together, it's not a requirement that you use both. But that other piece of standardization, the communication about print quality, is on the horizon. That second spec, PRX, is in the publication process of ISO right now. It's been approved, and they're getting ready to send it to press and create the final PDFs and so forth. So on the heels of PQX will be PRX. And so they'll be kind of like bookends, if you will, so that this communication between the brands or the print buyers and the printers can be automated. And I think some of the hope of PRX is that XML that comes down and says, here's what I want my requirements to be, can actually be employed by press control systems to actually set up everything so that the press runs can actually meet the requirements of the brands.
Well, I tell you, as you're talking about this, Diane, and I was doing my homework on this, and it just sounds like G7 all over again to me, because I remember the beginnings of it, and you start a little bit at a time, and where this can eventually go to, where it'll be in 10 years. Well, look at G7 over 10 years, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I have for right now, Diane. But what I'd like to do is ask you in closing, do you have any final comments you'd like to make or anything you'd like to say additionally about PQX?
I would like to encourage people to sign up for the training course. And or if you're a print buyer, the training course can be either for the print buyer QA people, third party QA organizations, which there are quite a few of those as well, and even tool manufacturers to see how you can implement this within your own quality tools. So I look forward to the launch. We're doing a lot of work between now and the end of July to get this ready. But I think you'll enjoy it. And, a bonus of having some prototype software to work with. We did that with Curve, with G7. And it's the same sort of situation, so that you have some tools. It's not a spreadsheet, but it used to be for G7. So this is a way that you can try it out and see how it fits for your organization.
Excellent. Well, this is exciting stuff, Diane. It's always good to see when something starts out like this and where eventually it's going to head to. And this has between the first version, PRX and then PRX. I mean, those two together, seeing where these are going to go. It's really neat to see where it heads in the future. But I wanted to thank you for time with me today, Diane. It's really appreciated. I know you're a busy lady, and thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Jim.